Blog Talk Radio.
A lot of us in this house tonight, we're on the potter's wheel right now. And it's not comfortable. It doesn't feel good. But we need to just take solace in the fact that even though it may not feel good right now, as long as I'm in his hands, I know that everything is going to be all right. Just touch somebody, look them in the face, and tell them, I'm in his hands.
We tend to forget.
just know He has His hand. Just know He has His hand on you.
Every time I hear that song, it reminds me of something that my mother used to tell us all the time. She always told us that God may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. Well, hello, hello, hello. It is Sunday, February 17th. I am your host, sanctified and set apart with a shot of the Holy Ghost. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and welcome to the Jubilee Affair, Season 2, brought to you always by the HubNet Online Network. This is God's show for God's people. As always, I am joined by the good brother, Hakim Luba.
Hey, good Saturday evening. How you doing?
All is well, sir. All is well. It's good to hear your voice, sir.
Same here.
Yes, sir. What you been up to for a couple of weeks? We haven't had a chance to conversate. How are things going for you?
Things is going good. Just been working like a slave, trying to be a master. You know how that goes.
Absolutely, sir. Absolutely. Well, we always know that hard work pays off. And, you know, like the Bible says, a man that don't work is a man that don't eat.
Exactly. And I need to eat.
You and me both, sir. To you, my family, my friends, and listeners of the show, if you are in the need of prayer, you can contact us on the Jubilee Affair Facebook page. You can always tweet the HubNet Online Network, but the quickest way, call the show, 646-787-1798. Again, that is 646-787-1798. And if you are in need of prayer, or if you just have a question or a comment on the show, you can always press number 1, and you will be placed in queue, and when it is your appropriate time, you will be able to speak to us. Amen. I always like to open up the show with prayer. I believe that prayer changes things. I believe that prayer opens up doors. I believe that prayer is our communication unto God, and so let us open up with prayer. Most gracious Father, we thank you for finally just being you all by yourself, Father. You have showed up and shown up on this day, Father. Alone, I have known and I see and I believe, Father, that I am blessed by you. So now, Father God, I ask that you will take that blessing, Father, and that you will place it on everybody else, Father. I am a servant that will give up a blessing in a minute, Father, so I know that somebody needs to be blessed on this day. So, Father God, we open up the doors, we open up the floodgates, we ask right now, Father, for strength, for guidance, for wisdom, for knowledge and understanding, Father, so that we may do your work here on earth as you have promised us, Father. We thank you. Now, Father, I ask that you will bless every host on this network, Father. Continue, Father, to bless and keep them all, Father, in their daily activities. Bless the lifeline, Brother Hakim, Father. Hold him up, Father, in ways that he's never been held up before, Father. You know the desires of his heart, Father. We ask that you would give it unto him on this day, Father. Continue to bless and keep him, Father. Now, for the leader of our network, Sister Michelle, Father, we ask that you would continue to bless her, Father. Continue to show her insight, Father, and wisdom on how to run this network and what we can do collectively, Father, to take us all higher. We thank you, we honor you, and we love you, Father. In Jesus' name that we pray, amen. I am happy and full of joy. It is my prayer that you are too. It is my job to release the captives. But more importantly, it's my job to be a shoulder to those who need someone to lean on. You see, we have to help one another. For if we don't help one another, we're no good to one another. I always like to open up, before we start the main part of the show, with a testimony. And so this week, I want to touch on never be afraid of the unknown. Many things in our lives and many times in our lives, we find that God will take us places that we've never thought of. He put us in situations that we never believed that we would be in. And sometimes even the most faithful believer will experience an ounce of fear. Fear of the unknown. And it's not a wavering of faith. It is sometimes we have to keep our faith in check. We have to keep our minds in check. We have to keep our bodies in check. The way we keep our bodies and our minds in check is by staying in the Word of God. When we look at the Word of God, everybody that God used, he took them places that they never thought of. And there's sometimes, and my spiritual hero leader that I love is Joshua. And Joshua was one who, on many occasions, did not want to do what God asked him to do because he did not want to deal with the people, the children of Israel. For he seen how they did Moses. And thus, you will find that he went to God and said, no, this is not what you have for me. Now, you can pick something else, and I'll do something else, but I don't want to be bothered with these people. Fear of the unknown can sometimes stop us from receiving the blessings that God has for us. Fear of the unknown will stop us from receiving that crown of victory that's at the end of our journey. Fear of the unknown, come on somebody, it can stop us dead in our tracks. Fear of the unknown. But you see, when you serve an all-powerful God, when you serve a God that says that I am placing you as the head and not the tail, that you will go from victor to victorious, oppressed unto blessed. When you serve a God that says that he can do all things, then my friends, why do we fear the unknown? I won. Before Christ came into my life, I had a lot of fear. I liked being in my little comfort zone, and I didn't like moving. I didn't like talking to nobody. I didn't like being bothered. I liked to stay where I was at, and I didn't have to worry about me. Nobody had to say because it was all about what Dante wanted. But when Jesus came into my life, I jumped in, y'all. All in, head first, not knowing that there was water, not knowing that there was sand or cement. I knew that God would see me through. So there's somebody today that's listening, and you need to know about the unknown. Never fear the unknown. We've been talking about this all day. If he did it for you before, he will do it for you again. We serve the type of God that says, if I will get the glory, I'll see you through it. All this week, I have seen God move on my behalf, because you know why? Because I don't fear nothing. I'll take any challenge head on and let God sort it all out at the end of the day. A true Christian, a true leader, will jump in, even if they don't want to. A true leader will know that if God is going to get the glory out of anything, then I will do it. Never be afraid of the unknown. Not when you serve an on-time God. Somebody here needs to hear that. God is calling you higher. God wants to take you to levels that you've never seen before. And yes, I always say every round goes higher and higher, new levels, new devils. That's true. New levels, new devils, but the same God. The same God that saw your grandmother through it, that saw our ancestors through it, will be the same God that will see you through it. Will be the same God that will see you through. And all you have to do is have a little faith. Trust and believe that God will not take you somewhere just to drop you off. For somebody today, you needed to hear that word. Somebody today has received a call from God to preach, has received a call from God to teach. Somebody today is concerned about their ministries. Somebody today is concerned about their bills in their house. Somebody today don't know where their next meal is going to come from. Somebody today don't know if they're going to have a place to lay their heads tonight. I urge you, listen to God. Let God deal with it. Let God fight all of your battles. Let God situate and fix any issues in your life. When they thought that they could hold you down, God gave you a word that blessed everybody, and it took you higher and higher. I know somebody witnessed to that, amen. If I'm by myself, amen, I can preach and praise God all by myself, but I know there's somebody that God gave a blessing to. And at that moment, you had a fear of the unknown because you didn't know what was going to happen to you, but at the end of the day, God set you up where nobody can touch you. I'm going to stop right there, man, because I don't want to go too long, but I can go the whole show, man. But somebody, never fear, never be afraid of the unknown. But God has a blessing with your name on it. Let the church say amen, amen, and amen. As we continue on in this show and we get to the meat of the matter, I am overjoyed, elated, happy, full of joy. Every emotion that you can think of right now, I'm experiencing, because I have the honor and privilege of introducing to you a man. Pretty much, I grew up with this man every day. A gifted man, a Detroit legend who eats, sleeps, and breathes Detroit. I have to say, growing up on our way to school and to wherever we went in the morning times, all I ever heard was this man on the radio. And the laughter that he produced out of me and my brother and sister and mother will always be remembered. I am just happy. I would like to introduce to some and reacquaint with others, Brother John Mason, who is the voice of Mason in the Morning for over 18 years and is currently the voice of the Detroit basketball. Welcome, Brother Mason, to the Jubilee Affair.
Bless you, Pastor. Very good. Thank you so much. Blessings to you. Very powerful open that you had.
Thank you, sir.
Just very powerful. It's moving, and it's moving through somebody. It's moving through somebody right now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. It's, you know, I don't take it lightly. When God gives me the word, I have to truly speak it because it's somebody that really needs to hear it, and my job to release the captives.
That's what the teacher taught us. The teacher told us.
Amen.
The teacher said, even these things you will do. So it is coming through you just the way the teacher said it would. Even these things you will be able to do as well. As Jesus walked and blessed and gave the word, you gave the word again tonight. Bless you.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. It is a true honor. We've both been waiting for this interview for a long time. My brother Hakim and myself. When I told him, I said, I have a special guest that I want to bring on, and I am just so happy. Person has been like a part of our lives, mostly of the generation of my age, you know, my age generation from 40 on down. We grew up with you. You were a part of our lives, and our parents, you know, and you opened up doors for so many people, and it's just an honor. I'm just honored, sir.
Thank you. It's a blessing to have been that type of servant.
Amen.
I think about it often, and I thank God for it. It was a blessing to be that kind of servant. You know, for me, radio executives would always say, we can't really define you. I mean, you're not really like a comedian, and you know, you're like a community guy, but not really. We just can't define you. And you know what? It's because, like you, I'm just moved by what God has given me. I'm moved by the gift that he gave me. I used to think about it. I used to go, well, I don't have that special voice, or I'm not a comedian, but there's something from the gift that God has given that I can share and move. And I would always think about it in terms of I can articulate the feeling of the people using this microphone. Mm. And I'll do it where others won't do it because it isn't as fashionable. It's not as cute. But the heart of the people would speak. I'd stand in a line and listen to people's conversations and bring that back and use it through that microphone. And that was the God gift.
Amen. Amen. And that is so true. And speaking of, as far as, you know, you were pretty much listen to the people. You know, when you listen to the people, you're able to touch them. And that's exactly what you did. And that is a true blessing. And I guess to start that, well, my first question would be is, how did you get into radio?
I got into radio, I was about 14 years old, 13 or 14, and I heard a commercial. I was walking to the candy store, and this apartment complex, about six windows up, had the window wide open, and the white curtain was blowing, and I heard this guy do this commercial, and it just turned on all the lights in me. And I was like, wow, it wasn't like I hadn't heard the radio before, but it was just hearing his voice, hey, do that commercial, and where the commercial was coming from, and it turned me on that way. And that was the biggest thing that turned me on to try and pursue this thing called radio.
Oh, amen. So it was just like a spark just hit you, feeling hit you.
I'll tell you, when I was a young kid, around 12 or 13, my father, who had MS, and he worked, and my mom had gotten extremely sick and was in the hospital. They made some mistakes in surgery. She was a vegetable for like 6, 7, 8 months. And the doctors would periodically tell me and my sister that my mom is going to die. And we would have to stay with different people. And I remember one lady we had to stay with. She had a teenage daughter who had a job. And in the evening, she would come back and try and entertain me and my sister. So she would take us in the basement, and she would play records. And as we were going through the records one day, I saw this one record, and it was red. I'm like, whoa, I've never seen a red record before. And the label was white. And I asked her, I said, what kind of record is this that it's all red? She said, that's a DJ's copy that the record company gets DJs. And I was like, wow, can I have it? I just wanted it because it was special. Not wanting to necessarily be a DJ, but because it was special, I just wanted to have it, and it was a prize to me. And she went, oh, yeah, you can have it. No problem, you can have it. And so it was the combination probably of those two stories. The going to the store and hearing the commercial, it was a wine commercial. But what was unique was the guy's voice, the way he could say it, and where the wine company was. I had never heard the words that way. So it wasn't some slimy, gutter commercial about wine. In fact, it was called Can I? And at the end of the commercial, he goes, Can I White Wine, Canandaigua, New York? That just somehow just turned all the lights on. I knew that was voice of a black man, and I had never heard of Canandaigua, New York, and it was the way he said it, and I just wanted to be a part of that. So those two incidents are the major forces that propelled me to follow the field of radio.
And that's such a heartfelt answer, because I know I'm the same way. My former pastor, Reverend Dr. Faith Allen, she had a way of words and stirring up words in you, and it would stir up a fire. And truly, that was how I received my call as well. You know, listening. And that's
surprised I didn't follow more into the pastorship. When I was a little kid, kids would like gather in the backyard and play different games, right? Well, the game, they go like, okay, so what game you want to play? I said, I want to play church. They're like, what? I said, I want to be a preacher. So I would stand. Now, check this out. I would stand on the top of the sliding board. That would be the pulpit. And they would all have to sit at the bottom of the sliding board. They were in the pews. And I try to pretend that I was preaching. My fascination with being a preacher was this is very deep. My fascination with ministry, especially at a young age between the ages of 5 and 6 and 16, was that I always heard something that I never heard in school. I always got encouraged where they would not encourage me in school. I would always hear how great God was and how God's thing is just to help you. And no one is more powerful than God. That used to turn me so on. I would sit where the mothers of the church would sit, and a lot of them frowned on that. But it was one lady. You'll remember her name, Mrs. Presley. She was a highly educated lady, and she would sit right amongst them. And she would let me sit next to her. And those mothers always thought that I would do one or two things. I'd either get antsy and start moving around and playing, or I would be some type of disturbance. But I never did. I sat extremely still because I was fascinated with the minister because he had the information that was so different that made me feel so associated with life that I couldn't get from school. I was horrible in school. Could never get anything right. No teacher ever liked me. I never got a positive word. I would get that from a minister. And when my mother would tell me, she's going back in the evening and they got a young minister speaking, man, I couldn't wait to get there. So that's kind of my relationship. That is how my faith begun. It's how my relationship with God centered and took place for me.
But I that's the true blessing. I can truly relate to you with the school. Growing up, I didn't have, I didn't feel like I was liked by a lot of people, a lot of teachers, and I was called minister societies. I was told that I shared this morning in my message, I was told that I would be dead before I was 25 by teachers, and, all type of stuff. And, even at some points in my ministry career, I was told I didn't have what it took to be a pastor. I didn't have what it took to be a preacher. But the God that I serve,
amen.
The God that you serve,
yes, sir.
In us too. And when people counted us out, he said, I have numbers that y'all don't even know of that I'm going to place on this boy's head.
Yes.
And I just know.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you this, Brother Mason, that I have room for you, sir. If you want to know more about the ministry, I would love to teach you, sir, because that's my job. That's what I do. I raise pastors, amen.
Amen.
It's my pleasure to help you, sir. Amen.
Yes, sir. But that was my journey. And that was salvation. That was what kept me alive. Now, I wasn't a threat to the streets or anything, but I was a depressant, I'm sure. But if it wasn't for the word, because the word was anti everything that brought me down. No teachers, they would never let me carry papers to the office or erase the board and say all the negative things, and I was dark-skinned on top of that. They fed into all of that. And they would always ignore me when they picked students to do certain things. They would never pick me. They didn't allow me to sit in front of the class. They always made me sit in the back. Things of that nature. But in church, I got a whole view of the world. And that is what propelled me to do what I do. And for me, it's, one time I had a confrontation, so to speak, with a minister, and he wanted to ask me about the radio. And, he says, well, the music you play and so on and so forth. And I said, minister, let me make you understand. that radio is my ministry. I may play the music and do the games that they want me to do, but it is so that I can draw all of the people so that on that moment when I need to say something to affect people's lives, I've drawn them all to me. So that was my ministry, and it is how I look at my ministry. If the music makes them come and the jokes makes them be there, then I've aligned them all up so that on that day when they have to hear the real message, the real world, the real word, they're there. And that is how I look at my position on the radio.
Amen. Amen. That's a true blessing, because you definitely have to, you know, and just to add a little biblical text to that and how I see things, you know, if you don't feed the body, you can't feed the soul.
Amen.
And what you did, you fed the soul so that you could eventually feed the body.
Yes, sir.
And if the people will hear you, they will gravitate to you, and then you can give them little tidbits that will still help them along the way. Because not only did you do radio stuff, but you helped families and you helped people who were less fortunate. You know, I remember, amen, and that's how God used you, which was a true blessing.
Yes, Pastor, that is so true. You know, when I did what I did, I wanted to do it well, so that when I did make my moves, they had to pause and let me do it. But I would play everything from Dr. King on the radio, and not on Martin Luther King Day. But I pulled many sermons from Dr. King that I knew could help people. I would play Aretha Franklin's father a lot on the radio, because I knew that those were messages that they would never get on the radio. Here's an opportunity to put them right there with the word. And we brought on many ministers as well. I would let people pray. It was my ministry. It was what God gave me to do. And I guess that's why I was never the overly funny guy or the overly political guy. But it was what the cry of the people was at the moment that God always had me work.
Amen. Amen. And you mentioned Dr. King as being very influential in your life. So who were your heroes growing up besides Dr. King?
Oh, wow. Heroes growing up. Well, mine, there were many adults, but there were some young, what I call young people that became my heroes. They didn't necessarily have the best lives, but the God in them moved me, and I'll tell you about three of them. One of the guys, his family was very poor. He lived around the corner from me. And my mother had bought me these expensive Adidas, and this is at the time when there were no leather gym shoes, but she had bought me these leather Adidas gym shoes. My friend, he was like, you don't really play basketball. Let me use them for the game and stuff. You know, your mother's telling you, don't you let anybody. And so we would. So I would bring them to school, and he would wear them, and we wouldn't tell people that they were mine. We made it look like they were his. And I was in the sixth grade, and I remember the teacher coming to my desk and saying, if you flunk this math test today, you will flunk the sixth grade. So all the kids started laughing. They're laughing. So my friend that I let use the gym shoes and lived around the corner, he started laughing, and he made the biggest jokes. And he ran over to me and pretended like he was slapping me on the back of my head, and he took my paper. And he took the paper, and he put enough right answers on it so I could pass. But he didn't want the kids to know, so he kept joking about me. He came back like he was going to slap me again and slid the paper. And that showed me the God that was in him. He just knew that I was struggling beyond struggle with the math. And he knew in my heart that it wasn't from lack of trying, just something I couldn't catch on to. But he wanted to make sure that I would be okay. And he and I went on to do athletic things together, and he was always like that. And another hero friend of mine was a kid. We were 14. He had did some unfortunate things. He had gotten a girl pregnant. He was only 14. But in that pregnancy, he turned his life around. He knew it wasn't the right thing to do, but he didn't just regret it. He went to work for it. He and I were on the same football team at that age, and he was the best player on the team. But he shared something with me. He said, listen, man, I got a kid. He said, so what I do is I go to school. I then go to work because I have to take care of my kid. And then I catch two buses to football practice. And I remember one of those practices. I remember him telling me that. And then one of the practices was in October, and it was storming, and it had already started to get dark early, and we were all muddy. And it was only like 15 minutes of practice left. Buses were late. He still put on everything and practiced. And that moved me again. It taught me responsibility regardless. So he became one of my heroes as well. And he was the first kid kissed me on the cheek. We were 15 years old. We hadn't seen each other. We had split up and our season was over. Now we were participating in school sports. And he was what they would deem a bona fide thug. In fact, he went to a bad boy, what they call a bad boy school. But his heart was so genuine. And he showed me that you can show people affection as men in a manly, family manner. And those kinds of moves from those two young men, they became my heroes, and they taught me a lot about life. And I was able to decipher fakes from real people because of them.
Mm-hmm.
Talkers from walkers because of them. Doers and not doers because of them.
Mm-hmm.
Responsibility, caring, and sharing with others because of them.
Powerful, sir. Ooh. You know, one day we'll sit down and have a conversation, because it's so amazing how aligned our lives are. Because I myself experienced the same thing. And yet, God, you see, I'm a firm believer that when you bless somebody, you get a blessing back.
Yes.
When you look out for somebody, you'll get God will look out for you. And so I felt the Spirit all over that, and I just want to tell you, just so that way you can put it into perspective. Everything that you dealt with, from, as you said, from your mother up into your childhood, up into school life, the teachers not treating you right. Everything that you dealt with was God preparing you for the work that you're doing now.
Yes, I believe that.
God preparing.
Yes, sir, Pastor. That is real.
Yes.
That is.
Yes. He gave you the thick skin from a young age to prepare you how to deal with radio executives, unruly people.
Yes.
People who will try to tear you down after you've done all the blessing that you can do. This is how God works. When God sets people up, he sets us up from birth to where we can, we're going to deal with stuff growing up, so that when we get to that age, we can look at it and smile and say, brush it off your shoulder and you keep on moving.
That's powerful, and that's real what you just said. Yes. Yes. Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. That's how he works. That's when I say an on-time God, that's how he works.
That's how he works.
And that's what he did for you. Yeah.
He protected me. You're right. He protected me. He put people like them around me so that I can decipher. And it's funny you mentioned that. I'll tell you one other quick story, and we can move on. There was some that first young man who did the test paper, and we became friends as athletes. He was, like, in the street as well. So he would introduce me to his friends, and this is a beautiful story. He introduced me to three or four of his friends, and I know these guys today because of him. And they were streety. They were the most unique human beings. They had compassion. They gave me lessons. They, you know, I guess they taught me how to talk to adults when we were just young teenagers. I would watch them. They had no fear. And their premise was this. If you know you're right, and you have to be right, then you can stand up for yourself and speak back. And that's what those young men taught me. They taught me to respect women. It's just amazing. These guys, I'm sure that everyday people that ran up to them knew that they were street people. I remember one of them saying, "Don't mess with this particular girl. I was talking to her. And she's not right. So I'm never going to talk to her again. But I know you like her. So the warning." And he was right. And they didn't have to go that route. They could have did many other things. But these young men would teach as they went along. And today we're just all still friends. But they were my teachers and protectors, and what that was God sending messages. People talk about angels. Those are my angels. People talk, you know, the wisdom that God sends you. You know, he sent these people, and they passed this information along. And I, today, as I'm telling you, they know it. I speak of them often because they were my heroes, and they were my pathfinders, and they showed me the way. They were my angels, no doubt, no doubt. And I knew where they came from. I knew the Father sent them. And they never, there's one last point. They never entered their streetism with me. When it came to me, they spoke different, acted different. They were themselves, but it was the other side. And the last little story about them, one day I was walking down the street, and these four guys approached me. My friend was slowly coming behind. We were going to meet up. But these four guys on the street stopped me first. And they were like, you know, "What up? You got some weed?" I'm like, "No, I don't have no weed." They're like, "Oh, you don't want, you know," they say, "You want to smoke?" And they were trying to row me. My friend steps in and goes, "He don't want no weed, and he don't smoke, so what's up?" In other words, you don't play with him about that kind of thing. That's not who he is. If we was dealing with somebody else, maybe we go on with the charade. For him, that's not him. That's not what we do. So what's up, guys? And that's how they always treated me as a teenager. I learned a lot from them. I didn't have a brother. Like I said, my parents were sick. When they would even play the dozen, they would never do my mother. It wouldn't have been anything wrong with it. They just wouldn't do it. They would do each other and never bring me into that. And I tell them every time I see them, I'm grateful because they were great teachers. And again, God sent those angels to do that.
Amen. And just to, as I listen to you, I'm always listening to the Spirit, and he told me that the reason why they never let nothing happen to you was because they sensed the God on you.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
They sense the God on you.
Yes.
And because they sense the God on you, and God knew that he had a mission for you, God always kept those around you who would make sure that you would reach.
Oh, you put that perfectly, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir. Yes. It's like you were standing there with us. Yes. Yes.
Amen. Okay, you have. I wish we could go 2 hours. This time came and crept up on us real fast. So I have just been enjoying this.
Session sometime, you know, it's just been a beautiful conversation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Before we have roughly about 8 minutes, and I'm sure we have some people on that may want to just greet you and
sure.
ask you a question or so. So, Brother Hakim, do you have anybody on that may want to give a word or greet Brother Mason?
Yes, we do have someone who's hit the number once. We're going to bring them on right now.
All right. Amen. Welcome to the Jubilee Affair.
Good evening, Pastor Townsend.
Good evening, Brother Davis. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I was listening to the interview, and I said, it's the voice of those Pistons. Said Detroit basketball, and I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm a Bulls fan. Since Jordan.
There you go.
But it's an honor to speak to him and finally hear him speak in person. It's an honor.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Brother Dewey, you're welcome, a faithful caller. He's a true blessing to us.
Yeah, and I'd like to speak briefly what this week here in my city is a quick testimony, but I'm going to keep it brief, that this week we had a water shortage. It happened Tuesday, and they said we were under a water advisory, oil water advisory for the county I live in. But we didn't panic. We made sure we had water, and I was thankful to God we had bottles of water in the garage we hadn't even used in a while. So, and a couple of days later, and when they said they lifted the water advisor, I told my grandma, I said, you know what, this could have been a whole lot worse.
But God.
And I told her, I said, you know, we can't take anything for granted anymore, that we better stock up just in case this ever happens again, that we'd be even more prepared.
Amen. Thank you for that good word, Brother Darius, and it's always good hearing your voice, and may God continue to bless you and keep you safe.
You're welcome.
A good proactive move.
Yeah. And I'll continue to hear your voice whenever the Pistons come on here in the Dayton area.
Bless you again, brother. I appreciate you.
Thank you.
Brother Hakim, do you have anybody else on that may want to pick up?
Yes, we have 2 more people. We'll bring in the next one.
Welcome to the Jubilee Affair. We can't hear you. It's
Hello?
We can't hear somebody. Well, no,
is
I was looking
Pastor
somebody
Townsend?
Was calling in. I can't. Yes, it is.
Pastor Townsend?
Yes, it is.
Hi, this is Valerie. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm great. God is good. Yeah, I was just listening to the interview with Mr. John Mason. Very encouraging and inspirational. I just want to say to Mr. John Mason, you know, I've been listening to him since the 80s, and he was always encouraging and inspiring. And I want to just, you know, keep praying for him to keep doing a great job that he do for our city of Detroit by encouraging us and coming up with positive things on his radio station. But I just wanted to mention this one thing Mason probably don't remember. I live in Oak Park, and I saw him in Kroger's on Greenfield, and I'm always in a hurry, so I was ripping and running, and I ran right into Mason. And so I knew it. We just hugged each other. I was so glad to see him because he just gave that great, you know, spirit and positive, and he hugged me back. You know, it wasn't nothing to it, but I just wanted to say that I just appreciate, you know, because he have, you know, did some great things, you know, for the city of Detroit and helping and encouraging us to keep moving forward. And that being said, Pastor Townsend, and you also, and this is my first time listening to your show. I'm glad I did. It was encouraging for me. I needed that, and I thank God. And I hope he continues to bless both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And I just want to take, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, that was like maybe a month ago or something.
No, Mason, it's been maybe like 5 years ago. I know you run into so many people, but you just probably don't remember. But you see me. Also, I saw you in McDonald's, too, you and Coco, and, you know, when she was on. And I just, you know, came and shook your hand. So, like I say, you do such wonderful things, but very encouraging and inspiring. So I just have to, you know, shake your hand and just say thank you.
Well, bless you. I appreciate you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
See, Pastor, I told you that story, Pastor, about my little friend who gave me that kiss on the cheek when we were about 14 or 15. And you see, that taught me. And as she said, we hugged and there was nothing to it. That's what he gave me.
That's what people do.
That's the blessing, and I'm glad you said that. And for those who are listening to the story, there
when you
go.
Walk in that,
that little place, boy,
you don't meet strangers. Mm-hmm. Everybody is the same, so you treat them the same, and you act the same. And as long as you can do that, you'll be all right, because you don't have to act a certain way when you're a child of God.
You are so right. Bless you.
Treat people the same.
Brother Mason, will you be up for a part two to this? Because we got 1 minute to go, and I really want to get into the meat of the matter. And a lot of people... Okay, all right.
We will do a part two. Thank everybody. Oh, God, thank you all. Thank you for letting me share today.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
And on behalf of Brother Mason, myself, and Brother Hakim, we thank you, Brother Mason, for blessing us with this interview. And this has been... The Jubilee Affair. I am Pastor D. Townsend, and we are signing off.